All right, I was also wondering, do you work more solo or in a group with other therapists?
I pretty much always work with groups of patients. In terms of working with a co-therapist, other staff are always welcome in my groups. It's funny how other staff are even more uncomfortable with music sometimes than the patients. But I was fortunate to be on a unit with some really wonderful psychiatrists who believe so strongly in the creative process. And so we actually had a creative group a couple times a week that was led by the psychiatrist, but I was always a key part of planning the session. Often we'd have a social worker as well, and so we would be working together. I worked with a social worker who had some expertise in aromatherapy, and so she would be doing some aromatherapy. It would be my job to provide some of the music that went with it, and we would plan that, we would discover that. In my job, not so much at the VA, because there's a number of therapists at the VA, but their caseloads are all different, and so we rarely got the time to work together. But in other settings, I worked on an adolescent unit, and I had a joint session with an art therapist that was phenomenal. We would do just the most amazing things, combining music and art. Very, very powerful. I would use some of the things I learned from them, I would use with my pain patients. That whole idea that I got your attention and perception, the brain has trouble paying attention to too much at one time. So distraction or refocusing of attention is a key aspect of working with pain, chronic pain patients. And I had a lot of success working with chronic pain patients. And that was a collaboration with a PhD psychologist, an art therapist, an occupational therapist, and myself. Not all at the same time, all the time, but our sessions all were planned together to integrate together.
Well, when that planning process, so these students are, trying to figure out how those collaborative relationships are built. Would you, for example, would you say, Jim here is just seemingly, he has an interest in this, I'm not getting through to him as well. Do you have an idea? Or how did you kind of like start that whole process of figuring out what was best for that patient?
A lot of times, one of the things about my unit was the acute mental health unit. The average length of stay is 5 days. When I started practice, it was sometimes there'd be like a 2 or 3 week admission, but those days are long gone. And so often I would have them in group before we'd had much about them. I mean, they're always invited to group. The groups are open and encouraged to everybody. Isolation is a key component of the disability for almost everyone. So just being able to get in the same room and even listen without doing anything was key. So my sort of assessment and diagnostic process began often in group. And then when I would get into the team meeting with each patient had a lead psychiatrist. I think we had like 38 beds. We had 4 different psychiatrists on the unit. So they would give their, they see patients right away. So the combination between the psychiatrist giving their overview, my experience with the patient, there would be some aha moments in that. And so, we would focus more on, if a patient was more, having more problems with depression and suicidality, then the idea would just be to find ways to get them to verbalize. And maybe a song having to do with the era of their service, a Vietnam vet. And that was such a long conflict. The music of guys who served during the 60s became much different during the end of the war. Knowing that, tapping into a piece of music that you know they connected with, that would be a way often to get them to begin to talk.
Are there certain types of music that works better in some cases than others?
It really depends on the person, because the most powerful music for anybody is the music that they prefer to listen to. I remember I had a vets particularly are uncomfortable when they start to slow down, because their survival has depended on this quick automatic lightning fight response. And so you begin to to remove that, and they get real anxious and uncomfortable because that's not what they're used to feeling. That's not why they survived the conflict or they're sitting talking to you. So, but that's where this idea of using a progression of really stimulating music to wind it down. I called it wind down music. Occasionally I would get a vet who really liked a certain, like they might like a certain artist or a certain group and a certain album, say. And so I would take the album, figure out the pulse of each of the songs, put the quickest one, just reorder them and make them a CD they could use while they're in the hospital, just because you can't be, you know, copying music and giving it out. There's laws against that, but but they got the idea that, and they were willing to go, because this was an artist or an album that they really liked, they would go with the slower music. So for them to experience this wind down of music that got more and more gentle, a lot of times more harmonious, a lot thinner, not so much heavy, thick music, it got a lot thinner, they could understand that, okay, maybe I turn to this high-powered music to relax, but really, it's not letting my heartbeat slow down. It's keeping my adrenaline going, and a constant state of that is really unhealthy. Not just mentally, but just, I mean, it leads to heart disease, it leads to a lot of physical, you know, medical problems if you're always in the fight state with that, those high cortisol levels and the high stress hormone. Music that, rarely did I have a piece of music that I would not use. I mean, if a patient was using it for destructive purposes, you know, or was just, I mean, sometimes the lyrics are just so whatever, I would say, you know, I'm willing to listen to this with you outside a group, but it really isn't fair to the rest of the group. And oftentimes that was kind of a test too, you know, are you going to listen to me through my music? Are you really interested in me? So sometimes the music is a real metaphor for what else is going on with the patient.
Okay. Talking about the vets a little more, is there a bond or community made with veterans through the program at the VA?
First of all, veterans, and you worked with Nancy, the Feast of Crispy, and the band of brothers that Shakespeare spoke about, that is so true of veterans. They will just about do anything for each other. And so there's that to begin with, coming in the door. When they begin to share some of their most intimate issues, particularly if they're sharing suicidality and that kind of stuff with each other, I mean, they know that this is a big problem among their group, and they've lost, most of them have lost several people to suicide. So there's the bond of veterans. In terms of music, one of the things that I ended up doing outside of the inpatient sessions is I began to do some outpatient work. It was largely kind of more performance oriented. We had what we called a jam band, and that was an open session on a Thursday afternoon in the gymnasium, and anybody was welcome to come and jam along. And so, you know, I had some vets that did that for over a decade after they, you know, got to know me and got exposed to music therapy, and that's the ideal thing. Boy, you can get people to keep using the music in some way. Every time they practice music, they practice all the benefits that go along with the music. They practice the attention, they practice the stress reduction, they practice the emotional release, just because they're practicing to perform something. So that became a real key, a real bond. We often had coffee houses, we called them. A couple of years, they were once a month, and that just got to be too much for me. So we would have them quarterly where, you know, we'd have two and a half hours of music of veterans performing for each other and, you know, their families, their friends, whatever, because they got started in music therapy while they were patient. And some of them were not on my unit. They might have gotten wind of it in the residential program in the domiciliary. At VA, when I was there, and I think this is still the case, there is a dedicated music therapist to the inpatient mental health unit. There's another one in adult day health care, and these are older vets that come in for day treatment one or more days a week to keep them healthy, but also just to give their caregivers some respite, but to get them out of the house. And then there's music therapy up on long-term care. And she divides her time between the palliative care and end-of-life patients. And she actually is getting a specialty credential in end-of-life. And she, she actually sometimes is called when the patient is ready to die. And they actually let go with the music therapist and the family in attendance. And those are very powerful sessions. So there's some intense relationships that become established. And I missed a big thing. You should look up the National Veterans Creative Arts Festival. That's one of the six national programs that exists. And we actually hosted it in 2014. And that's where veterans from all over the country come together. They have to audition to end up the final performance. But that in itself, there's over 100 VAs where vets are practicing, working on local editions to try to qualify for the national festival. Well, I mean, that's a whole lot of music therapy going on around the country, just focused at that. Basically, it's a week that they get together to put on a festival show. There's a couple of music therapists who write the show. Most of the staff who help direct it and practice it and rehearse it are music therapists at this point. And then there's also, part of it is for art therapy, part of it is for creative writing, part of it is for drama.